Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is Conscious Hope of Pure Love.
Good morning, church. Welcome to First Light. How are we doing this morning? I want to say that this morning my sermon has actually been preached already many times over. Not just once, not just twice, but already from Iggy. Every song that he chose this morning was right. Followed the same flow of my sermon as well, all the key points in the same order. Isn't that amazing? Nancy sharing her testimonies, sharing about how good God's love is and that God's love is new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. This is my heart for this morning. And I ask this morning that we think about it, that we meditate on these thoughts as we go through this morning. But one thing I must say, though, is that we recognize the message of grace in this church. We call ourselves a grace church. Is that right? First slide. We yearn to be grace natives. But let me tell you something as well, that grace is always there. Whether or not you realize it, it's there. This is the beauty of God's grace and the beauty of God's love, that He has first extended it to us, that it is already there before you realize it, and you are operating in grace whether you realize it or not. So the only difference is, if you are conscious of it, you get to enjoy God's grace more than if you are unconscious of it. So I like to think of it like this. Imagine you are stuck in a prison. You committed some heinous crime and you're put into jail for 60 years, a very long time. And as the days go by, as the months go by, as the weeks go by, as the years go by, you lose track of time. Until the day that your 60 years come up, you've actually forgotten it's 60 years. And so you continue living this life as if you're stuck in prison, as if you are you're bounded by the chains, you're bounded by the bars. And yet, 60 years come, and nobody has told you. There's no prison guard, there's no judge that comes up and says, Ethan, your 60 years is up, you are now free. Until this prison guard comes up and says it to Ethan, he's not going to know that he's free. So let's say 10 years goes by. Ethan has actually been free, but he's been living in prison because nobody has told him. And this is exactly what grace is like in our life, and God's love is in our life. That until we preach the word, until we share the word, until we tell that you are free in Christ, you will not be able to enjoy your freedom, and you go on living your life as if you are in this prison. God's love is amazing. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is because it did not know Him. Beloved, First Light, we are God's children now. Now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for this beautiful morning, that we can experience Your love and mercy afresh again. Lord, we thank You that Your love and Your mercy knows no bounds, that it continues to abide in us. So, Lord, all I ask this morning is that You call us back to a consciousness of who You are as our Father. Call us back to consciousness of what Your Son has done for us, the love that He has shown us, that You have put forth in us a hope, a desire for You. We thank You, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Church, I read the text from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. If you've got your Bibles, I ask that you turn to it. John, if you can, bring it up onto the screen. For those of us that don't carry our Bibles around. Did I do all right with my memorization? I've been meditating on this word for the last few weeks, and that's why this morning I've just been blown away, because this is coming true. I'm seeing it come true today. Let's read it again. I've titled my sermon, if you want to, conscious hope of pure love. All right, and as I read through the text again, hear those words, and if you get it, you get it, and my sermon can be cut short in 5 minutes, and we can go home, have lunch, and enjoy God's love for the rest of the day. All right? All right, verse 1, from verse John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself, as He is pure. It is my desire this new year, like Nancy, to see God's love afresh every day, to gain a greater consciousness, a greater awareness of who God is, of His love that He has first shown us. And to become so aware of His love that I become unaware of myself, so to speak. John the Baptist says, more of You, Lord, less of me. Is that idea that, Lord, I want to be conscious of God and not conscious of myself. And I pray, church, that you know, when pastor asks us to put our three things, that on there, or add it onto your three things, add it onto your fourth things, onto your fifth item, that this will be one of it, that you gain a greater consciousness of who God is. And when you gain a greater consciousness of who God is and His love, the things that you ask for are in line with the things that He has set in your heart. And you will see it come to pass. But we can get disappointed sometimes. Is that right, church? Circumstances get very tough. We struggle with work, we struggle with finances, we struggle with school, we struggle with family, parents, brothers, sisters, aunties, uncles, and every other person from the village. And most of the time, as Christians, we like to say, look to Jesus. How many of us heard this? Yeah? Look to Jesus. When the going gets tough, look to Jesus. I get very annoyed when I hear this. I think some of you guys might share the same sentiments with me. I get annoyed because I know I need to look to Jesus. And I don't like it when people tell me what to do. But, you know, I have to grin. People being my wife, namely. I'm glad she's not here to tell me to look to Jesus right now. Hell have no fury, like Jeremy was been told to look to Jesus. But it is true. The reason why I get frustrated with this idea is, you're telling me to look to Jesus. I can't see Jesus. What do you mean, look to Jesus? What do you mean by look to Jesus? And church, this morning, I hope to help you. And this I've been preaching this to myself for the last week. It's, what does it mean to look to Jesus when we can't actually physically see Him eye to eye? Because sometimes, it's not so much that I get frustrated that I cannot see Him. I'm actually a masochist. I like to wallow in my struggles. I like to beat myself up. In some sense, because I like to think of it that when I get out of it, I can say, I did it. I overcome all these struggles. I overcome all these adversities. I overcame all these difficulties because I did it. That's why I rather wallow in my struggles and not look to Jesus when the solution is right there. So let's go through it this morning. Let's see what do we mean by it. Because when we say look to Jesus, it's in the Bible, right there. Next slide, John. See! Look! I think in the King James it says, behold! What manner of love is this? Look to Jesus. In the Greek, it means to gain consciousness of, to be aware of, to set your mind to gain an experience of, to live it. And one of my favorite meanings is actually this: to interview with. Now, when we talk about interviews, I've been watching a lot of Jimmy Fallon recently. How many know Jimmy Fallon? So his most recent interview, no, I'm going to have a tangent. I'm not going to talk about Jimmy Fallon. But the idea of the interview, you get to ask God the questions. Isn't this amazing? I'm not even talking about God's love yet, okay? I'm just talking about the word see. That God has allowed us to interview Him. This is the God of all creation. This is the God who created the entire cosmos, and but we are but the speck in there. Yet He allows us to come to the throne room of grace and interview Him. And you know how I know this? Well, it says here, John said it. But because He has given us the Bible, He has given this to us, that when we have questions, we can come to Him, we can ask the Holy Spirit for guidance, or you can even challenge Him, read through the Word, and He will come to life for you. How do I know this? Because it has happened in my own life. I used to think like this. When I was coming to the end of high school, I was getting a little bit caught up with my faith. Was my faith real? Is God real? Why do I believe God? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is the Holy Spirit? Do I do what I do just because I'm going with whoever is around me? And I always got to this point where I thought that if I was asking these questions, I doubted God. And if I doubted God, that means I had no faith in God. And if I had no faith in God, therefore I was not saved in God. I am one to tell you, church, that this is wrong. 1,000 times wrong. God says that you can come to Him before the throne room of grace and ask Him, and He will bring to light His Word, and He will bring to life. And I will say that once that came to life in me, once I realized that, you know, that was wrong, my experience of God became so much sweeter. Because God can put up with my very strange questions. God can put up with my very intellectual questions. God can put up with my very critical questions, because in the end, the answers all point back to Him. And He allows me to ask these questions because He desires a relationship with me. And He allows you, church, to ask these questions because He desires a relationship with you. He wants you to be conscious of Him. He wants you to be conscious of the relationship you have with Him and the relationship He has with you. Ask away. He will satisfy you. He will bring you new life. But let's get back to the text. Let's see what John is actually trying to say to us here. When he tells us to see, he's telling us to see two things. First, the Father's love. What kind of love is the Father's love? And the second is about our identity as children of God. Now, really, these are the same coin. So when we talk about the Father's love, we shared about it this morning in the songs, in what Nancy was sharing with us as well. For God so loved the world, we all know this, that He gave His only begotten Son. And so whoever shall believe in Him shall have everlasting life and shall not perish. That's John 3:16. Now that's another John 3:16 from this very book itself, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "By this we know love, this being God, Jesus Christ laying down His life for us, that He laid down His life for us." This is how we know love. That Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. So think, set your mind on these things, yeah? That Jesus Christ laid down His life for you, and this is His love for you. If you're like me, I don't understand what love is. Rina tells me, why don't you tell me you love me so much? Well, I can say the words, but I don't quite get the meaning of love. This is one of my struggles. It could be my upbringing, it could be my background, it could be the experiences I've had. But John makes it very clear here that when he talks about love, he is talking about what Christ has done for us and what the Father has done and shown us and made available for us. And what He has made available for us is He has called us. He didn't just send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, yeah? He has called us children of God. His children. Beloved. Beloved. We are God's children now. We are His children. That's why I can say that I can now come to the throne room of grace and interview Him. I can come before Him because I am His child. I am God's child. And so are you, church. Know this. Set your mind to this. Be conscious of this. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that He should call us children of God. And so we are. So we are. And the reason why I was saying that I might struggle a little bit with understanding what love is. Because I lost my own father. If I think about it properly, though, losing my father physically when he passed away of cancer when I was an 11-year-old boy wasn't that big a loss because he was never present in the first place. So I struggle as I'm married with Rina. I learned a little bit more about my past, about myself, because I always thought I was perfect. I always thought I had no problems. You could ask Dan and Iris when I was living with them in China. I go around as if the world is my oyster and I couldn't care less about what people said about me. To being married and realizing that I had so much scum. I did not know who God really was. I did not know His love. But one thing I could say though, is that even though I lost my father, I still remember that the day that my father passed away, a peace overcame me. Now, bear in mind, I wasn't brought up a Christian. It would be probably 6 months since I accepted Christ into my heart before my father passed away. But I felt this great peace. And we could see that in the Word, in Psalms, it's God's reality coming true. That He says that I will be the father to the fatherless and the defender of the widows. And I saw that come true to life in my mom, myself, my sister, as we establish a new life here. What kind of love is this father that He has called me His child? Jeremy, you are my son. I will look after you. I will take care of you. Doesn't mean, though, that that there are no difficult circumstances, that struggles doesn't come. Because even if you not aware of God's love for you, yeah? Even if you're not aware that you are His child, the Word here says that the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. It's you're going to feel a very strange tension operating in the world, because the world is going to make clear to you that they do not know you. They do not know who you are because they do not know God. It could be whether you've forgotten God's love and you've just kind of let it slip just as time goes by. Or you could be actively fighting against God's love, choosing to forget it. But the world will let you know that they definitely do not know you. And we don't like that. We want the world to like us. We love it when the world says, oh, who shall I look at? Josh. You're so fine. I know who you are. Oh, okay. Let's use a better example. Your Instagram feed doesn't get so many followers, doesn't get so many likes, not enough double taps on those pictures because your filters were not good enough. Not enough hashtags going on here. So, we don't like it when we're not popular like this. We desire the world to be known. We put all these things up. We put selfies up there so that the people can recognize our face and know us. So, because it's a lot easier to put a selfie up with Instagram filters than to put makeup on your face. Save yourself about half an hour at least, I imagine. I don't speak from experience. I'm only imagining what it could be like. But, okay, beyond all that, there's also the ideas of status, jobs, career, money, a position. We want the world to know us by all these things. Choose your poison, basically. How do you want, do you even want the world to know you by your lack of caring for the world? I think I need to hear that for myself. I can become so proud in my stoicism that no one knows who I am. And I try to become famous for not anyone knowing who I am. I am anonymous, the most famous person in all literature. The thing is, we struggle to try and win the attention of the world. And even when we get it, even when we get the attention of the world, even when we get fame of the world, we struggle to keep that fame. How many people remember the last viral video from last week? Too many of them. In and out, it's gone. We've forgotten. What was once popular is now a nobody. But one thing is sure, is because these things are all temporary. They will fade away. It will fade. But one thing will remain, and that is God. God will remain. And His love is eternal. His love is everlasting. And He will know you. His love endures forever. He knows you. He knew you before you were even born. You're knitted in your mother's womb. Such beautiful language. It isn't just bang, thrown. It's He knitted you. He knows every single strand on your head. He knows which strand is going to fall to make you bald. That's almost a rhyme. I like that. But know this. Do you want to be known by the world, or do you want to be known by God? Get this right in your hearts. I have to ask this myself many times. Get this right. Do you want to be known by the world, or do you want to be known by God? See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. I want to be known by God. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. I don't need the world's accolades. I don't need the world's praise. I don't need to be famous. Just give me Jesus. The song we sang this morning is thank you, Iggy and the team, for leading us in it. It's written by a lady named Fanny Crosby. Anybody recognize the name Fanny Crosby? She was a blind gospel singer-songwriter in the late 19th century. And she wrote this song in response to someone who has said that, "I want to become known to the world." And she said to him, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. Because I'd rather see my God." And this is a woman that is blind. She has set her mind, she has set her heart, she has set her consciousness on the things that are unseen. That is a far greater reality than what we have here, than what the world can offer up. Even if the world can offer you 99.999% chance, guaranteed joy, God's 100% eternal joy and love far outweighs what the world can offer you. Because the world will fade away. And knowing this, let this be so firm in your heart that you can see God's love. Be aware of it. Just ask God, "God, bring to mind. Why? Because when you ask God for this, when you set your spirit and your soul for this, it produces hope. What is hope? There's a difference between what we talk about hope biblically and what we talk about in the world. When we talk about it in the world, it's usually kind of wishy-washy, yeah? I'll give another good example where the first day I met Rena, first time I ever laid my eyes on her, it wasn't even laying my eyes on her, it was hearing her beautiful voice. How many know how wonderful my wife's voice is? I heard her voice, I thought, "Wow, what a voice, I got to know her." Took her number. I thought, "Wow, she's very exotic. I can't get her surname. I thought she was like Latino or something." Woo. This wasn't in the bar, right? This was in a prayer meeting, all right? So it's a regular monthly prayer meeting. So I thought, okay, I got to know her here this month. I'll probably get to know her, see her again next month, yeah? So I was hoping, yeah, she might come. I hope she comes. And story of my life, she did not come. Very sorely disappointed. This is how we often see our hope in the world. It's a results-orientated. I'm hoping for something to happen. But the Christian hope, on the other hand, is a solid confidence in God, in His promises, because His promises are true and He will fulfill His promises. The Greek word for hope here is the word elpis. I hope I don't say it wrongly. I have a Greek lecturer and he'll probably scold me for this. But either way, what it means is, it's a confident expectation, it's a confident and joyful expectation of good and of our eternal salvation. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. That He has given us eternal salvation. That He has laid down His life for us that we can have salvation. This is our hope, church. It's not that, well, we may have salvation at the end of our lives. We may have salvation if we do this, or do that, or don't do this, don't do that. It's, I know I have an eternal salvation that is before me, that is from God. And because it is from God, it will not be shaken. It will not be taken away. It is solid. He is faithful to His promises. This is a hope that is stronger, more secure than the way that the world thinks of hope. It is a hope that when in the face of adverse problems, struggles, difficulties, it can say, I know my God will rescue me. I know that my God has saved me. I know that He is my salvation. He is my rock. He is my strong tower. And that He will come again and He will take me to glory. This is a solid hope. And this is what we were seeing about this morning. That even when you feel you're stuck in struggles, you're stuck in despair, there may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. This little line helped me for a good 2 years. When just as Rena and I got married 40 years ago, I started a new job. I just came back from China. I was struggling with who I am. What do I do? What can I? How do I make my mark on this world? How can I be useful for God? I struggled. And here I am stuck in a job that I was actually losing money in, all right? I was even making money in this job, so to speak. My whole mind was invested in it. The only respite, in some sense, I get from this job is because I had to do a lot of traveling. And so I put on the Word of God. I listened to the Word of God because that was the only way that I could feel some sense of life in me. This is why I say, set your mind on this. Because I know that this brings you life. If you are struggling, this brings you life. It set a hope in me that even though my circumstances were so tough from my point of view, I was not even giving myself to my wife as I should have. But yet, I had this, as faint as it is, don't disqualify it, even as faint as it is, I had this hope, this confident expectation that God will save me. And He did. Not because He changed my circumstances, but because I became even more aware of Him in my life, in my circumstances. I became so aware that God is with me. He will never forsake me. God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to set your mind, set your heart, set your soul upon Him. That you can enjoy Him. Enjoy the relationship with Him. And because of this hope, it gives us strength to go through this world that is so imperfect, so broken. We know what's been happening that we've heard from Paris, for example. The countries, I think Nigeria with Boko Haram. Or even all the other atrocities that are happening under closed doors, or behind closed doors, sorry. Underground, in countries that we have not heard of, and that it's not nice to know about. Despite all those things, we have hope that God will come and save. God will save. And it doesn't have to be so, how would you say, so grand, not grand, so big an event that the struggles have to be real. It could be even as quiet as this. Let me find it. The father who is gripped in porn addiction has a struggle because of this imperfect world. The grandmother stuck in bitterness from something that happened to her 60 years earlier. That's a struggle because of this imperfect world. The young man struggling to find work to provide for his family, because that's also a struggle of this imperfect world. But despite all these struggles, there is a God There is the God who wants to have a relationship with you, to fill you with hope, because He will come and He will restore all things. He makes all things for the good for those who love Him. And so in the midst of all this brokenness, in the midst of all the struggles, God is calling us to set our mind on Him. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. We are God's children now. We know it is a tension. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. He's not appeared yet. But we know, we have this hope that when He appears, He will appear. Read Revelations, He will appear. We shall be like Him because we can finally see Him as He is. Face to face, I at last shall see. Face to face, I at last shall see. No longer having this sin-stained eyes, so to speak. My eyes are still imperfect. Yes, I still read the Word. I still meditate on His Word. But I'm still imperfect. And I might not understand God very well. I might not get it right. That's why we have a church. That's why we have a community church. We're not doing this alone. We share the Word of God with the church. That's why we take the bread. That's why we take the cup. That we can meditate. We can remember Christ together. So that when my weakness comes, your strength will support me. When your weaknesses comes, I can support you. And we are together, the bride of Christ. A community of faith. And together, Christ wants to purify us because His love is pure. John, if you can go to the next slide, please. Because Pastor often says that we are not perfect. He says it. We are not perfect, but we are perfectible. This is our purification, our sanctification, our being perfected. And how this comes about is when we set our mind on God's love and hope in Christ. And just because our view of Him, like I was talking about earlier, because of my eyes, my mind, my heart is stained in some sense. I can't quite grasp the vastness of God, the magnificence of God. My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. If my ways are exactly His ways, my thoughts are His thoughts, I'm God. And that's not wrong. Sorry, that's wrong. I cannot be God. But Christ dwells in me. It doesn't mean that because I can't see Him properly, that God is limited by how I see Him. The thing of this, has anyone used a telescope before? Yes? No? I've never used one, but I'm imagining I've used one before. Because I kind of shoot with telescopic lenses, so I kind of get the idea. So think of this, the night sky is clear. You set up with your very far, long-range telescope to look at which planet? Venus. Your telescope is so powerful you can see Venus, right? Now, when you see Venus, it seems small on your telescope. Does that mean Venus is small? It's the same thing about our perspective of God. God can sometimes seem so far away. We're trying to hold our telescope to see Him. Maybe not even this. This is probably more like Venus, and it's my eyes that are the telescope. All right, my heart. It seems so small, but God's life is so far bigger than that. He brings life, but that's why He's asked us to renew our minds. Daily renew our minds, set our minds, set our hearts on Him, that you can gain a greater consciousness, greatest awareness of who He is, of His love, and you can start seeing the intricacies of His love and start enjoying it even more. But just because you don't do it doesn't mean that He is not showing you His love. But how much more enjoyable is it when you realize that it is His love that He is showing you, that it is His grace that He is showing you. Because God has actually set some really cool principles that are true naturally. Yeah? Like this. How many of us knew that when you lose your brain cells, it can never come back again? How many of us have heard this before, yeah? Well, I'm going to tell you that that's wrong, okay? Scientists thought that that was true for maybe a good part of the last hundreds of years, maybe in the last 10 years. It's wrong. Because what they have discovered is that the brain is actually incredibly plastic. It's not so rigid as what we thought it was. It's just that we just don't like change, so we just try and create research to say, you know what, my brain cannot change. I lose my brain cells, so that's why I become a grumpy old man. Your brain is an incredible piece of work that only reflects the creator. It's so plastic that all you need to do is that when you engage in active learning, learn a new skill, learn to play a guitar, learn to play chess, learn to I don't know, sing a song. What was it? Mix? Knit. Oh, learn to knit. Yeah, learn to knit. I'm not too sure about that. That's a little bit mindless sometimes. No insults meant. You engage your mind in active learning. New connections are formed in your brain. It's shown that if a person, for example, who is in depression can actually engage in these kind of active learning beyond their neurochemistry that there's fighting against them, they can actually overcome and form new connections in their brains. Same thing as well when we get older. You want to prevent Alzheimer's, you want to prevent dementia, engage in active learning. Keep your mind active. But what's even more awesome is this. Don't we have this to keep our mind active? Don't we have this thousands of years of stories, of narratives, of lives to study, to learn about, to bring new life to us for fresh revelation every day? His love and mercies are new every morning. Dwell in it. Study it. Enjoy new life. It purifies us. I just say, even if you spend 5 minutes every day, just open up. Read one proverb a day. Just study one proverb so you can't forget which day of the month you're reading. if you can't sit for very long, find Jude. One chapter. Not even one page on your Bible. Find a psalm. Meditate on that. Or even the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You can get so much truth from that. Why did Jesus weep? He's weeping for you, church. He yearns for a relationship with you. He does not want you to die. He wants you to have eternal life with Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so when we meditate on God's Word, we actually see how great, how grand, how magnificent His love is, Jono. And pastors actually helped us with this, yeah? Who here is subscribed to his daily devotions? All right. Well, please go onto the website, subscribe to his daily devotions. Because if you struggle with, I don't know how to read the Word, you can start there. Just a verse and some thoughts to chew on for the rest of your day. And over the last couple of weeks, Pastor Richard has been sharing about love. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. Learn about God's love in your life. Because His love is so great. Because He first loved us. His love isn't one that, how would you say, demands us to love Him back. He doesn't ask us to love Him first, then He will show us His love. We love because He first loved us. And His love, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, is so, so attractive. If only you set your mind on it, you'll see how beautiful His love is. When you see how beautiful His love is, you will be drawn to it. You'll be operating in His love. It's like a fish in the water. The fish isn't choosing to be in water, so to speak. So I'm going to hang out onto the land waiting until the water's right. Fish will die. Same thing with us, with God's love. That we are just swimming in His love. We are getting life from His love. His love satisfies you. I would tell you that His love will satisfy you. That was my problem. I was talking about how in those first 2 years of my marriage, finding new work, struggling, I was questioning, Is God's love really good enough? Is His love really worth it all? Have I wasted my time, spend the best years of my life because of God's love, wasting it away? Did I waste my life because of that? I don't see the fruits of it, so to speak. I can't. My circumstances really suck. How, God, how do you love me? Look at my circumstances. I'm struggling with work. Every month, I have all this billing to make, all this quota to make, all this clients to see. I got this other client who is berating me down my back. Another one, I'm trying to convince him to do something else. God, how do you love me? I'm not getting any satisfaction from it. But remember what I said earlier. God didn't change my circumstances. He changed me. He showed me how much more I needed to trust Him. He allowed me to ask these questions. Because He knows that when I honestly ask those questions, the answer I will get is Jesus Christ will satisfy you with long life, with eternal life, with abundant joy, with peace, with hope for future, because He will come again and we will share in a relationship that is so pure and so sweet. And the beauty of it is that even when we don't know His love, or when we lose consciousness of His love is still there. Because nothing can separate us from His love. It's still there. Where, as much as you try to push it away, nothing can separate us from the love. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, hunger, shall nakedness, shall danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. For we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things, all these things, in all our struggles, in all our hurt, in all our brokenness, in all our need for to even put food on the table, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate you and me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And this is the love of God that John is asking us to see. See what kind of love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, that He will abide with us forever, and that you can abide with Him forever and enjoy eternal life. He wants to satisfy you, church. Your satisfaction comes from Him, and He will satisfy you. He will strengthen you. He will give you joy. He will purify you. He will make you into the image of Jesus Christ. This is our hope. This is our longing. This is our confidence for what is to come. That we will be like Jesus Christ. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Musicians, if you can come up, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.